Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Is anybody hot in the house? Yeah, I'm sorry, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, God is doing some great things. You know, we have people calling me, telling me they're praying. People calling me and telling me that, hey, you know what? I'm walking my neighborhood now. Praise God. I'll tell you what, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of action. Is that right? We're not called to be sitting in our homes just quietly passing the time, watching whatever. Praise God. God has called us into this kingdom, and He's saying, hey, do something. Put some feet to something. And if anything, just pray your block. Pray your the street that you live on, if anything. Hallelujah. Because I do. I've got a map in my office. Tommy and I and Pat and John, we're going to be mapping out where y'all have been. Amen. I just want to see. I would say, well, I'm over here. These brothers are walking over here. This sister, she's walking this area. The youth here, they're walking over here. I'm walking here. Pastor John's walking over there. Pastor Pat's walking over there. And I want to see just how much of this area we've got covered.
Amen.
Come on. Hallelujah. Because I am expecting an unusual watering. How do you like monsoons? Anybody like monsoons? I was telling somebody this morning, I go, hey, man, I love monsoons. I love the monsoon season. I could be in San Diego with my son or something, and the weather's really beautiful over there, but as soon as I hear there's monsoon and there's raining at my house, I'd rather be home. Come on, I love the monsoon season. I love it, man. I love the water. I love the smell. Like that. And I believe God's going to do an unusual watering event in this city. One that's just crazy different. One that, even so much that I believe that even the churches that are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ will begin to fill up. Because God's doing something. I'll tell you a story about 10 pianos. The Lord was showing me 10 pianos. And I'm looking, I knew there was 10 because I counted them. These are grand pianos, and it's kind of a big area, and I'm looking at them, and I'm going, what am I looking at? And all of a sudden, one of the pianos down, number two piano, I'm not sure which one, ding, say that made a sound, and another piano on the far end, bing, made another sound. Boom, another song, another note from another piano, a couple more tried to boom, 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 they tried it. It was like they were, like one was setting, like they were tuning to each other. What I didn't notice was right in the front there was a large, like a stand, kind of a, like a, maybe a microphone stand, but there was this beautiful thing looking at what I didn't know what it, I really didn't know what it was until it made a sound. And it went, then the first piano, doom, then the one piano, doom. They all started tuning to this. And Lord, what am I looking at? And what the Lord said to me was this. He says, for churches have been tuning to each other. They've been looking at a church saying, well, that's what we're going to do. Looking at another church, oh, that's what we're going to do. Looking at another church saying, you know what, we're going to try to do it like that. We're going to do this, that, and the other. And God says, but now they're going to be listening to one. To one. Can I tell you who that one is? His name is the Holy Ghost. He says, they're going to tune to my church. They're going to tune to my tune. They're going to walk the way I'm asking them to walk. They're going to do things the way I'm asking them to do things. Folks, I believe that is what God is talking about in the unity of the body of Christ. It will happen. How many of you know if Jesus prayed for it, don't you think it's going to happen? It will happen. Praise God. Are you ready for it to happen? You're part of it. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Lord, tune us up. Amen. Come on. How many need a tune-up this morning? Hey, come on, man. I need a tune-up, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. You guys like drinking water? I love water. Last, I guess it was Tuesday evening, my wife's car broke down out front here, and we couldn't move it anywhere, so we decided, well, I'm just going to fix it there. It was so hot. 4th of July. Oscar and I were down here, and I'll tell you, I don't know how many bottles of water I went through, but there was a thirst. when I got home, how many of you understand that? Even though you've drank water all day long, you've been in the sun, even when you get home, you're thirsty. You can't have enough water. You got to keep getting more water, more water. And that's the way I was. Had to get up at night to drink too much water. Praise God. Yeah. Anyway, but I want to talk a little bit about your thirst this morning. I want to talk a little bit about how God wants to use the body of Christ. And he wants to use us individually. He wants us in his presence. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? We've taught ever since I've been here that we are independently dependent upon God. You need to be independently dependent on God, not dependent on your church, not dependent on your pastors. You personally dependent on God and what he's saying to you. And I believe that's what God is taking the church to. And there's going to be some things in your life that present maybe kind of looks kind of, wow, this is not good. It really isn't good. Why me, God? How many of you, everybody said, why me? Anybody ever said, why me? Nobody in the house has ever said, why me? Yeah, there we go. I got some hands. I said, are you guys asleep already? Come on, man. Why me? Lord, why me? I could have said that. Yes. Could have said that. 4th of July morning, why me, God? I'm expecting to take a nice day off, man, and here I am out in the sun. They don't put cars together easy anymore. Do you know that? How many know that? Everything you do, you got to do 300 other things just to do one thing, and it's crazy. And then you got to remember what you did on those three other things, 300 other things to get it back together. It's kind of crazy, man. But there's a reason why things happen. And the quicker you get in your mindset that it's because God is working with you, he's teaching you, he's leading you, he's guiding you, the quicker that you realize that he's got you in everything that you're going through. As a matter of fact, some of the things that you're going through, he designed it for you. The quicker you realize that, the easier it is. Can I tell you? The easier it is to stand back and say, God, thank you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that my car broke down on this hot 4th of July morning so that me and my son-in-law can have some together time. Praise God. Dude, you're dripping on me, man. Back up. Isn't that right, Oscar? Hallelujah. Man, it was hot. Glory to God. Know that God's got great things for you. If you will open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. How many of you know age has nothing to do with anything? Is that right?
Nope.
Nothing to do with anything. Is that right, Pastor John?
Yes.
Come on, birthday boy. Age has nothing to do. I don't care how old you are. If you're living and breathing on the planet, God's got a purpose and a plan for you. It's time that we really go to him and begin to hear what he has for us. Is that okay? Can I tell you that? Can I tell you, hey, man, you know what? Maybe you don't want to do anything. Wait, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. God wants you to do something. Yeah. Get over yourself. Die a little bit and say, God, what do you got for me, man? Yep. You watch what he does. You watch what he'll do. Hallelujah. Praise God. I was going to call for you to come fix my car. No, I'm just kidding. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. There's good presence. Man, God's... Man, I'll tell you what, God. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, that you would, Father, by your spirit, Lord, we depend on you. We depend on your spirit, Lord. Lord, I'm asking you, Father God, that you would open a door of utterance to me that as I would speak the things that I ought to speak as you have designed. And Father, you would open each and every heart today, that everyone in this place would hear what you're saying to them this morning, God. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father, that you are rich in mercy. You're kind. And Father God, you have things for each and every one of us. Hidden things, things we've never seen before, things we never realized. They're hidden deep within us. So Holy Spirit, speak to us this morning. We thank you for it and we praise you for it. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Romans chapter 5, starting verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Isn't that a good deal? We have access to God because of faith. Access. Hallelujah. By whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. I love this word where he says, don't you just love it here where he says, we glory in tribulations. Don't you like that word? Is that a good word? That's a good word. How many glory in tribulations? Right off the bat, do you glory in tribulations? Do you? No. You almost got to be crazy to be that way, isn't that right? No. No. But can I tell you that we do things, we should be looking at things a totally different way. Is that right? That whenever these things come to us, we glory, like the Word of God says, we glory in it. You know, the initial impact might be kind of rough on us, but it's right then, right after that, say, nope, I'm going to give glory to God. I am going to give him praise and glory for everything that he's doing in my life. Is that okay? He can burn up an alternator in a Hyundai for me for a reason. Praise God. I have to glory in that because that's what the Word of God tells me to do. Is that right? Count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when tribulation hits you. Count it all joy because God is doing something with you. He's helping you. Okay? It really is important that we catch this, that we get a hold of this. It really is. Because what tribulations do, it provides you an opportunity. Because you have access by faith. That's what it says. You have access by faith. So what tribulations and the hard things do, that provides you an opportunity to step into the kingdom of God, to step into the throne room of God and say, God, I need something from you. God, can you help me? Hallelujah. That's all God's trying to get you to do anyway. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 20, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Isn't that nice? How would you like a prophet come to you and say that? Hey, get ready. You're dying. That's not a good, I don't know about you. I don't know if I'd count that all joy. What do you guys think? Count it all joy, man. And Hezekiah, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, I beseech you, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in your sight. And it says here, and Hezekiah, what? Wept sore. Is that right? Sore. He wept. And it came to pass before Isaiah was gone into the middle of the court. He's in the temple. And he said that the word of the Lord came to him saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord God of David, thy father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days, what? How many years? 15 years. 15 years, and I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Isn't that cool? I said, man, that's cool. This man turned to the wall, and all of a sudden, he went and he got himself close to God. Isn't that right? And he says, hey, man, God, remember that I walked before you in truth. I remember I've walked with you as far as I can with a perfect heart. And then the word of God says that he wept sore. I like that. How many of you have ever wept sore? I've done that. I like it. I'll tell you, show you another one. Remember I told you I couldn't get out of 1 Samuel? I'm still in 1 Samuel. So go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I think I said I have my truck is stuck in 1 Samuel. Hallelujah. Stuck in the rut, stuck in the mud. Glory to God. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verses 9 through 18. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And now Eli the priest sat on a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. Hannah was a lady that was being troubled by her husband's other wife. And because Hannah could not have kids and his other wife had kids. And so she was troubling her and giving her a hard time. Hannah just wanted a boy, just wanted children. That's all she wanted. She loved her husband loved her, but she had no kids. And back in those days, that was kind of a shame. So then she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord and wept sore. See that word again? Wept sore. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto your handmaid a man-child, then the days of his life, and there, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought that she was drunk. Come on, lady. What are you doing here? You're in the temple. Why are you drinking? And Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put away your wine from you. Praise God. Sometimes the way I act, people think I'm a little high. Is that okay? You guys can tell me, put away your wine, man. Come on, put away your wine. You know, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say, hey, I'm drinking new wine. You better give it. Hey, you'll like it if you try it. Come on, hallelujah. The new wine, the wine of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm weird, but that's okay. Hallelujah. Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful heart and have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. But then she says this, I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee the petition that you have asked him of. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went on her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more what? No more sad. Can I tell you, when the word of God says that she wept sore, Hezekiah wept sore, can I tell you that is not a natural crying? Can I say that to you? That is a deep, heartfelt, deep from within type of crying. Here we got a couple of instances where Hezekiah and Hannah, it happened to them. And what I like about Hannah, she tells him something. I have poured out my soul. And I find that that's a great description, because I know some of you have probably felt this before, where you have wept and you wept and you wept, and it's almost like you've got no more strength to weep anymore. And then all of a sudden, you stop and you say, I remember doing it one time. And while it was happening, I kept thinking, why am I crying so hard? What's going on? What is it? Somewhere within each and every one of us is this place in your soul that when God gets to it, when things are happening, it's this deep weeping that rises up from within you. Can I tell you, it's driven by the Holy Ghost. It's the spirit of man calling out for God. God, I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you. I don't know what else to do. Anybody ever said that? I don't know what else to do. I've got no idea what to do. What are you going to do? I don't know. I need to do something, but I don't know what it is. This is a function that God has given every one of us, the ability to reach the throne of God in a way that what I like about Hannah, the Word of God says she got up and she went out and what she said, yeah. She was no more sad. She wasn't sad anymore. There's something you know when you've touched the kingdom, when you've touched the king, when you've touched God's throne, and you know it. There's something within you that says, man, I don't know what just happened, but I tell you what, I do know that I touched God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why don't you turn to Psalm 42. I love this. Psalm 42. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know what? God is just telling me there's somebody in here that really, really, really needs this message. This is a powerful message. This is a message to each and every one of us. But there's somebody in the house, there's maybe a couple of, I don't know, but the Lord just said, they are asking how to do this. Hallelujah. Can I tell you real nicely? You got me. I don't know how to do it. All I know is that out of the abundance of my complaint, out of the abundance of my desire to hear God, all of a sudden it comes. So I'm going to say, just let it happen. Can I tell you that? That's how this happens. That's how it works. Hallelujah. Out of the abundance of what's going on in your life, allow it to pull up and it will overflow and it will bring a smile. It will bring a jump to your step. Even though things haven't changed, something else has happened. And you know that God's got it. Oh man, it's crazy cool. Watch this. Psalm 42. Bible says, as the heart pants after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. King James, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after thee. Have you ever been so thirsty for God that you say, God, I don't want anything else but you? So incredibly thirsty for God and for him to say something to you. You ever been there? Man, I've been there. I've been there a lot, tell you the truth. Because to tell you the truth, I got no idea what I'm doing here. I need God. Okay, God, I think he puts it on me like that. Yeah. Hey, time for you to come and see me. You're telling me, God, I need you. Because this is bigger, and I sense what God is doing is bigger than what we're even seeing. It's incredible what God's about to do. So here he is. Here's David talking. He says, my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continue saying to me, where is thy God? When I remember those things, I pour out my soul. There it is again. I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise. Is that right? But I'm putting on a face because I'm so thirsty for God, I can't stand it. I say, God, I got to have you. I got to have you. Will you just do something for me, Lord? And with a multitude that kept the holy day. Why are you cast down, O my soul? I like David. He begins to speak to himself. How many talk to yourself? Anybody in here? Anybody talk to yourself? You ever told yourself to shut up? That's a good deal, man. Hey, amen. My wife told me to shut up. Yeah. Sure. I was carrying a bottle of oil yesterday. It wasn't a bottle. It was a drain pan of oil. I got a can that I dumped I changed the oil in my car, and I dumped this oil into a trash, into a can, so that I can take it to the dump later on and just drop it off there. But I'm carrying this thing, and the oil's sloshing, and I'm going, whoa, and there's nothing for me to trip on. And guess what? I tripped. Play that. Oh, you know, I tripped and I dumped oil all over myself. Crazy. I looked at my dog. She's looking at me like, my dog. Even my dog was going, what are you doing? It's cool, man. I look at him. I go, preacher, shut up. And I told Rosie, I know what she said. I know what she was thinking. You look like a clown. In Spanish, it's a what? Payaso. You look like a clown. I'm just dancing around with this thing. Oh, man, I don't even know why I told you that. But, you know, even in that, I got to praise God. I got a nice little chuckle out of it looking at my dog. She had that tilt in her tongue. It's cool, man. Praise God. And I was talking to myself. That's why I said, you're dumb. Henry, what's wrong with you? I said, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 6 says, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites, and from the hill of Mizar. Has anybody ever been to this place saying, Lord, I'm cast down. I'm low, and I can't get up. I don't know how to get up. Lord, will you help me? And then verse 7 says something really cool. It says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows, they go over me. There's something about getting to that position, placing yourself in that position where you say, man, God, I need you, I need you, I need you. Can I tell you, God loves to hear that? Can I say that? He is so faithful to you that when you get to that position and you say, God, I just gotta have you. And like I say, the abundance of whatever's going on in your life, that you just gotta find God, and you know, you gotta. When that begins to settle in on you and you're calling out on God, I tell you, something will happen. The Word of God says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. You will begin, that God will open something to you. And it's really a cool deal. And I believe that God is saying, this is where I want the body of Christ to be. I want the body of Christ not out of your complaint, but out of your rejoicing, out of who he is in your life, that you go to him with that and say, God, I just want to know more about you. God, I want to hear more from you. I want you to speak to me. And you allow this desire that's within you to well up within you. And then something happened. Then allow that flow, where the deep begins to call into the deep things that are within you, that spirit that's within you is calling for the deep things of God, for him to quench that, what's going on in your life. It's cool, man. It really is cool. Watch this. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 and 16. Look, check out this one. The Lord thy God will raise up unto you a prophet. Who's that prophet? Do you guys know? What's his name? Jesus. The Lord thy God will raise unto you a prophet from the midst of thee and thy brethren, like to me, this is Moses speaking, unto him you shall listen or hearken, according to all that you desire of the Lord thy God in Horeb. You see that word, Horeb? According to all that you desire in Horeb. What was it about Horeb? Do you guys remember what? There's something about the rock of Horeb. It was a place where the people were complaining they didn't have anything to drink. Hey, you're going to kill us, God. You brought us out here to cause us to die of thirst. So what Moses goes over and he hits the rock and water comes out of this rock, a miracle. And that's what God's talking about. He's mentioning that according to all that you desire to the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly. Okay. Your thirst was driving you. And he says, and I will provide a prophet for you. Go to John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. If you're taking notes, take these down and take a look at them. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall what? Flow rivers of what? Living water." He says, I like what it says, if any man or woman, anyone, come to me, he said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is what I'm talking about. This is what's happening when you've got to that point. You got nothing else to do. You can't go anywhere else. And now all of a sudden you're before God and something happens. This happens. Hallelujah. Remember when I told the story before, but this is a perfect place for it because I was laid off at the mine. I was at home and I was at the time my son was about a year old, and I was Mr. Mom at home, which was cool. Can I tell you that I learned a skill that nobody needs it anymore? It's kind of okay. I could put a diaper on a kid. He had little cuffs on the bottom of that diaper, man. The best looking diaper you could find, man. And my mom showed me how to do it, and I remembered. And man, I was good at it. There was no sticky tape. You had to use the pins. Anybody remember pins? Anybody? No. And yeah, you had to fold it just right, and it had to be tight. Is that right? How are you? It had to be tight because if it was loose, it was on the floor with everything else that goes in it. Yeah, is that right? So it had to be tight, man. He looked cool. Man, I had a skill there. I said, man, I was proud of my skill. I told Rosie, look at the diaper. She goes, shut up. It was during monsoon season, and we used to have, there wasn't a bridge going into Elephant Head at the time. That's another thing. But you know, there was no bridge. It was just a piece of concrete pad that used to go under on the floor of the river. And Rosie was going to work, and she said, "Hey, I'm gonna go out the main road, and if the river's running too hard, I'll turn around and I'll go out the back way." I said, "All right." I had a big international four-wheel drive truck. It was a good truck. And so she took that. Looked like a little girl. Looked like my granddaughter driving that truck. Little head. She's looking. It's a big truck. And she's driving it. And anyway, on the way, she left to work. And Jonathan had cried. And I picked him up. And sure, I changed his diaper. And going to put him back in his bed, but I said, "You know what? I'm going to pray for you." And I began to pray. And as I prayed, something happened. Something deep within me just welled up within me, and I started weeping, and you know, I wept sore for quite a few minutes. Oh, praise God. We are praying for this kid. He was kind of awake and almost not crying, but he was awake. But I'm praying like crazy. And when I looked at him, I had opened up my eyes, and he was sound asleep. And I was making all these weird noises. Yeah, whatever, man. God, yeah. And I'm looking at him, I go, "Wow, I really prayed for that kid. You're a man of God, man." That's what I set him down in his crib. I go, "Man, I really prayed for that kid." It was something that I wasn't expecting. It just rose up and pulled me into it. And I go, and I loved it. I loved it. Rosie got to work, and back then it was no cell phones. And so she gets to work, and she calls me up. She goes, "You know, I went across the road." She goes, "But as I was driving, a car ran me off the road and came into her lane, so she had to go off the road." And she said, "It was crazy. It was like, I thought for sure something was going to happen. The truck come right back up on the road, and she just come on." I know what happened. You see, that was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knew what was happening. I didn't know what was happening. But in that little bit of time, God used that prayer to take care of my wife. And I thank God for it. You see, God was showing me something. He was showing me that when you weep sore, when you there's this deep weeping, that he says, you're touching my throne. Do you realize that you're touching? You are in my throne. Can I tell you how you've been in the throne room of God? I'm going to say most of you have. You just didn't realize it. But the throne, you've been invited there, and God has opened the door by the death of his son, and he's saying, come in, come in, come in. And I'm telling you, folks, today is a day that we really got to get this done. You know what the people used to call this? Praying through. How many recognize that term, praying through? There's another, breakthrough praying. Because when it happens, you walk off and you're saying, man, my situation didn't change that I can see, but man, I feel peace about it. There is a great peace resting in my heart because of this. Can I tell you, God is saying, come in, come in, take a hold of this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, everything that you need, that you think you need, I don't care what it is. If you would do this and do this often, God will meet those things. He'll bring those things that you don't even know about. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into your heart the things that God has prepared for you. He's already prepared for them. He's trying to get them to you. Can I tell you, if you stand in this position, if you allow yourself to get to that position and go into the throne room of God and weep sore, pour out your heart before him, you'll see things happening that you had never thought would happen. You'll see things changing around you that you never thought would change. How many know God is a God of change? How many know that? Remember Saul of Tarsus? God is a God of change. If you think God can't change things, you don't know God. Is that right? You don't. Because God changes everything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. What I like about this scripture is it's talking to us in a way that a lot of folks, we don't realize it, but 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you hear that? Can I tell you what I'm talking about? Today is a weapon of our warfare. But you know, I've always had this kind of weapons, warfare, and everything. Can I tell you that the enemy is defeated? Can I tell you that? Are you okay if I tell you that the devil has been defeated? Are you okay if I tell you that there is nothing that he tries to do that can harm you? Do you know that? Do you know that if you do something great, it just doesn't mean he can come and attack you? Is that right? Don't get me wrong. I know he's there. But I don't acknowledge him. In this house, as a matter of fact, I try not to acknowledge him. Because the fact of the matter is he wants his name to be said. It's just like, oh yeah. They're talking about me. Yeah, I'm a bad boy. Not here. He's a defeated foe here. Is that right? Come on. And you know, and the thing about it is, he does affect those that don't know God. Is that right? And he can cause them to say things to you that can be hurtful and harmful and everything. But you know what? If you know these things, if you realize these things, there's no battle on your behalf. There's nothing that you need to do. You say, Lord, you heard that. I'm good. Praise God. They think I'm dumb. Praise God. They don't think I can do this. Praise God. So it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I've always had trouble with weapons in warfare. And I want to just... The word weapons in the Greek is hoplon. I don't know if we got that up there. No? The Greek word for weapons is hoplon. And it does mean implement or tool. An implement or a tool. And it also says weapons in there. That's right. King James calls it weapons. And I want you to look at the word warfare. The Greek word stratela basically means service. Isn't it funny? That's what we tell. Have you ever been in the service? It's almost the same word, in the service. In the service. You've been in the service, but that's what that word means. There's also something that's in there. It says this in the, it says apostolic service. Apostolic service. So I'm not real sure, and I'm pretty confident in the fact that God is not telling us to go out and battle. Because the word in other places says the battle is the Lord's. Is that right? He does the battling. He fights the fight. As a matter of fact, Jesus is not the Prince of War. He is the Prince of what? Prince of Peace. So why you want to be battling when Jesus is saying, I've got peace for you? Can I tell you something? What I'm talking to you about is a strategy that God has given us, an apostolic strategy, if you want to call it, or a service, where you, if you want to read this, the implements of our service are mighty through God. That prayer that I'm talking about, that kind of praying, is mighty to see things done that you never thought you would do, because of the fact it's not you praying, it's the Lord praying through you. It's a great thing. He says with groanings and utterance that cannot be even worded out. Glory to God. It is the Spirit of God. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to freak some of you out, man, but it's okay. It's all right. Because when it happens to you, you're going to come out and say, man, I don't know what I was battling about, but something just took off. Amen. Not battling. Yes. Not battling. I don't know what it was, what it is God's bringing, but it's going to happen. Amen. Because it's not me praying according to my wisdom, my understanding, and how great that is. I was going to bed the other night. When was that? Thursday night, or I can't remember what night it is. I was stepping in, getting ready to go to bed, and the Lord said something to me. He said, my power is more to be experienced than it is to be understood. Think about that. Write that down. You're going to need to write that down and think about that. I said, what? I said, Lord, what are you saying? Your power is more to be experienced than it is to be understood. Can I tell you something? That we cannot understand God totally and completely. Is that okay? You will not understand Him totally, and especially His power. You're not going to understand it. It doesn't, it's not understandable. It's almost hard. It's so hard to understand how God can, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, let there be light. Can you understand that? Put your mind around that. Can you get, let there be light, and there was light. Let the firmament, the stars, and all these other things, let it be, and they were. Tell me about it. If you understand it, help me, because I don't get it. I don't know how anybody can be that powerful. Praise God. And yet He says, I'm going to come and I'm going to dwell in them and I'm going to expose my power. You see, His power isn't to be understood. It's to be experienced. That's why I call this thing seizure experience. Come on. What are you talking about? Seizure experience. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. The Word of God says this, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, He says this, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. How do you like that? Lacey spoke on that a little bit this morning about the violent taking it by force. I thought you were going to preach my message. shepherd's gone. I said, man, uh-oh. I said, uh-oh. And the Holy Spirit just gave the message away. Hallelujah. But that's what she said. The word violence is this. In the Greek, it's gaiazo. G-A-I-Z-O. When you say it, you're supposed to put kind of a D in there. That's just the way it's gaiazo. Gaiazo. And the word means to crowd oneself in or to seize. To force. Force. The kingdom of God suffers violence. That's what this word is. People forcing their way in. Hallelujah. I like doing this. Oscar, come here. Come here, Brendan. Brother Dan, come here. I like doing this just for the picture on this. Stand right here. You stand right here. And Brother Dan, you can stand in here too. You can stand back here. How many say, Brother Dan is God? How's that? Is that okay? That's God. Okay. I need one more. Come on, Pastor John. Come up here, man. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by, what does it say? By force. The kingdom of God suffers violence. And it's kind of an odd statement. Hey, you're not God. Get up here. Stand up here with this guy. He's God. What are you, the Holy Ghost? I'm just kidding.
I'm trying.
Let's see, wait a minute. Those are red. Are you red because of the lighter? No. I'm just kidding. Embarrassed. No, I didn't mean embarrassed yet. But the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence taken by force. And so, you know, sometimes we in our prayers are saying, God, it's so good to get to know you. I want to get to know you better. And you really don't try to get in. You guys need to get closer, okay? But this is kind of a picture. Some of you say, man, God, no, don't let me through. God, I'm trying to get to you. God. All right? That's another way. But then there's the violent that take it by force. I need something from you. Okay, go ahead and sit down. Do you guys get what I'm saying? The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The violent is gaiazo, G-I-A-Z-O, and it means force to crowd oneself in. Is that cool? That's cool. Force, the Greek word for that is harpazo, H-A-R-P-A-Z-O. You also put the D in there, harpazo. It means to seize, to grab a hold of, to pull. Isn't that cool? And the last word, the violent, talking about the person himself. That word is biastis. I don't know, that's kind of a weird word. But it means a forcer, one that forces his way in, one that's very energetic. Can I tell you that God, with what he's done for us, it's important that he sees that we are energetic about some of these things. How many know that? Can I tell you the joy of the Lord is your strength? And then because of that strength that God places within you, it should place some kind of energy in you. Is that right? Something I got. You know what? I got to do something for you, Lord. What can I do for you, Lord? I got to do something. And the Lord is saying to us this morning, find my presence. Find my presence. Get into my presence and let me speak to you. Let me speak through you and you will see these things come. It's really, really a crazy. It is. These are the implements of our service. These are the weapons of our warfare. Can I tell you, there is nothing in the world can stop a person that's doing this. Can I tell you that? If you're doing this, there's nothing that can stop you because it is God that is going through you and backing you and pulling you into whatever he has for you. It's the greatest thing in the world. Can I tell you, Jesus paid for this? He paid for it. With his blood, paid for it, so you can make it into that place and say, God, I need you. I don't even know what I need. I don't care. Just whatever it is, I just need you. Glory to God. The young lady that I was talking to, I worked with her husband and worked in the garage. And her husband came to me one day and told me, "Hey, man, you know what? I'm going to get a divorce." I said, "You kidding me? What are you talking about, man?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm going to get a divorce." I said, "You crazy, man? You got a great wife. She's beautiful. Are you crazy? I'm going to divorce. I want to be free." Free? You don't know what free is, bro. And one evening, it was Friday night, I think, she came to the shop to find him, and he was in the back parking one of the vehicles. And she goes, is he around? I said, "Yeah, he's parking the vehicle." I said, "How you doing?" She goes, "Not so good." She goes, "I just wanted to tell him that I'm going to go stay with my parents. She lives south from here." I said, "Man, you know what? I'm praying." And I said, "But the best thing you can do is just ask God for help. Just ask him. Just say, 'God, help me.'" She's a Catholic, by the way. Do you know that God will help Catholics? Come on, man. Come on, man. Just ask him. They talked a little bit and they went on their way. She went on her way. The next week, he comes in. He tells me, "I don't know what happened." He goes, "I'm an idiot. I'm not going to divorce my wife. I really do love her, man." I said, "Man, cool, man, awesome." So later on, I saw her. And I was asking, and I was like, "What happened?" She goes, "Well, I was on the frontage road driving home. And I was thinking about what you said." And I said, "Well, okay, might as well ask." How many know? Might as well ask. Some of the easiest things to do sometimes can be the hardest to us. Is that right? She said, "Well, I might as well ask." I said, "Lord, I need help. Can you help me? I don't want to lose my husband. I don't want him to go." And she told me she started weeping. And I had to pull over, she said. I had to put over on the side of the road. And she said, "I probably wept there 5 to 10 minutes. A deep, deep, deep." Man, I'm looking at God. I know what you did. I know what you did. You see, she touched the throne. And when you touch the throne, it so affects you that everything within you begins to pour out. And you know what happened? Just like Hezekiah, when he wept sore, it touched the throne. God stopped the prophet from even leaving his house, said, "Turn around, go tell him I'm going to give him 15 more years. Isn't that cool? That's God. God does these things. And this is a place, folks, I hope, because I hit this place quite often, because can I tell you, you might not realize this, but there's a load on this house. Do you know that? And it's not supposed to be there. Do you know that it's sometimes this thing is heavy on me? Can I tell you that? And I'm not supposed to walk that way. Do you guys know that? You know, the Word of God tells me, don't walk like that. Don't let what's going on in your life, don't let it load you up. Find a place to release it. And there's only one place for a Christian to release these things. It's in the presence of God. Jesus said, "My burden is easy." Is that right? And it's light. And when I go in there and I come out, yeah, things haven't changed. Folks are folks. Just kidding, you guys. Folks are folks. It's just, you know, people have things going on in their lives, and I'm going to tell you something. Even though I don't see a lot of those things, I didn't see some of them change that day, I've got a peace in my heart that God placed there because of that river that began to flow out of my spirit. It's cool, man. It's like nothing else. Folks, I believe that's why he's got me here. Because I will touch heaven. I will touch heaven. I will touch heaven. I had a dream the other day. I was preaching. Check this out. I woke up saying, "Yeah." You know what my message was? In the dream, it was, "The pure in heart will see God. The pure in heart will see God. The pure in heart will see God." Folks, I want to see God. I don't want to wait to get to heaven to see him. I want to see him. I want to see him. Moses asked for that, didn't he? Come on. Do you want to see God? How many want to see God, man? I said, "Man, God, I want to see you. I want to know more about you. But you know what? Let me just give me a glimpse. I was preaching it in a dream. I got up. I'm feeling pretty good today. Preaching all night. One message. Pure in heart will see God. Praise God. I'm thinking he knows what I'm asking for. How many know that? He knows what you're asking for. A couple more scriptures I want you to look at. Romans 8, 22, verse 27. 22 through 27. I'll just read it off of here. Word of God says this, for we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together unto now. Do you know this whole world wants to see something? It says this. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. This is that travail, that groaning that God wants to use for us. Waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of the body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we likewise, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, and I like saying himself, but itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Do you hear that? He makes that intercession. Can I tell you, if you allow him, that's all I'm saying this morning, allow him to take you into that intercession, you're going to find something that really changes. And he that searches the hearts knows what's the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The way he wants it, not the way you want it. Yeah, you're all, we all have ways that we think it needs to be, but I'm going to tell you something. When you do that, you're going to find you're at peace with everybody. Can I tell you that? Because you're praying the way he wants it. He gives you a great peace, and that peace really does affect everyone around you. It's pretty cool. I love it. One last scripture. I'm going to let you go. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 7. How many know that our God is a refuge and a strength? This place that I'm talking about is a refuge for you, is a place of strength. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Do you like that? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Whenever you're in trouble, he's right there, man. Come on, man. Therefore, we will not fear. Amen? Though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountain shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, that means think about it. Here, there is a river. Here, check this out. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Can I tell you, he's describing you. He's talking about you, that there is a river. Jesus said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Do you know that you are a tabernacle? Do you know that Jesus dwells in you? Do you know that? Hallelujah. If you don't know it, let's talk. Come on, man. All right? The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He utters his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He is. He really is. And he's calling you into that place. He says, hey, man, come on into this place. Watch what I'll do for you. Release what you think you ought to do. Release what you think you need to plan on. Come to me. Let me fill you. Watch what happens. It's crazy, man. That's the God we serve. That's what Jesus paid for. Jesus paid a price to get us into this so that these streams would be running through us like crazy. When I was out front, the word of God, when God told me to speak and prophesy to this building, I'm looking, I go, God, I don't know what to say. But what I did, I was opening my mouth, and out of my mouth came these words, open up, O ye gates, open up, ye everlasting doors. Everything was boarded up. Hadn't even talked to the owner yet. And God is using me to speak to this building. He says, open up, O you gates, open up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory will come in. Who is the King of Glory? Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, the righteous, Jesus is his name. I'm standing there. And then he says, out of thee, O house of God, I'm prophesying to this building, nobody in it yet. Nothing but a bunch of old stinky old bowling balls. And he says, out of thee, O house of God, shall flow rivers of living water. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow the people of God, carrying the living waters into the city. That's us, folks. That's what he's calling us to do. He's calling us into his presence. Find out. Speak to me. Speak through me, Lord. And you watch what he does. This power is not to be understood. It's to be experienced. It really is. It really is. You know what seizure means? Let me give you seizure. This is the collegiate dictionary word for seizure. It says an act or instance of seizing. My engine had that happen to it one time. My wife drove it without water, and it had a little thing they called seizure. It seized up. Oh, babe. Yeah. If I would have checked the water before she left, it would have been okay. Number two, it says a state of being seized. Number three says this, taking possession of an item, property, person, legally or by force. Seizure. That's the same word that the Word of God says that we go into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it. They seize it by force. We're called to seize these things. What things? I don't know. You go into your closet. You find out what he has for you to seize. You'll know. You will know. And when you find this place, it will break everything. You think you got bondage? If your friends around, you know, folks around you have bondages and things going on in their lives, can I tell you, if you teach them this, you get into the presence of God. You get into the presence of God. You find God over this. That thing will, it's busted. It will not work anymore because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has used you to pray the correct prayer. Isn't that cool? That's cool, man. Everybody stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody say amen? Amen? Amen. Glory. You know God is good. How many know that? Can I tell you this? Amen. You might want to do it here. I'm going to let you spend some time here in case you want to just talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I really, really need to get to you. You can do that here. But if you don't do it here and yet you're you know what? When you go home, find a quiet place. Say, God, I want what you have for me personally. It's time, folks, that you experience him in that powerful moving way that he's trying to get to you in. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for all that you're doing, God. God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that is able to do far abundantly above all that we ask or think, Father. So, Lord, help us, Lord. Help us, Father God. Lord, bring this implement into our lives and use it. Help me to use it regularly, Father. I thank you for it, God. I praise you for it. If you agree, say amen. Amen. One more thing. I'm going to say this to you. There might be somebody in the house that has never given their heart to the Lord. And I don't want to ever assume that all of you have. But if maybe something the Holy Spirit has been talking to you this morning, something got a hold of you, something you heard, and it just, oh man, you know, obviously you don't know what it was, but something in you, you know God might have been speaking to you, and you've never given your heart to Jesus. And I want to tell you this morning, you're here because he wants to give you life and more abundant life. That's what it is. He wants to remove the old things that you have, and he wants to make you new. So I want to give you that opportunity. Bow your heads and repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me my sins. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for paying the price for me. Help me out, church. Thank you for paying the price. So that I might know God. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. Wash me and cleanse me. Make me new. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. If you said that prayer this morning, know that God is speaking to you. Know that you are saved, that you gave your heart to the Lord this morning. If you did, let somebody know. Okay, praise God. At this time, I'd like to release you guys.